Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining us today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. If you'd like to listen to any past episodes, you can find those podcasts at kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, or at iTunes. Any place you like to get your podcasts, you can find them there. That goes for all of the programming here on KPCG. You've probably noticed some of the troubles in the world, some of the confusion, some of the problems that are ongoing. And one thing you could say, and I think most people would agree with, is that the world is very far removed from God. You can't look at the problems in this world and think that God is the author of that. The world is removed from God. How could this world be so far removed from God? Because many people talk about being spiritual. They attend a church. There's some sort of religion or spirituality in their lives. And yet the fruits of this world, by and large, are very negative. Can you believe that the whole world is deceived? That's what the Bible says. Let's notice this in Revelation 12. We have a few passages today. If you have a Bible with you, it'd be handy to get it out, and we can go through these scriptures together. Notice Revelation 12 and verse 9. It says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." He deceives the whole world. Deception. That's what your Bible says. Many people don't believe in a devil. They don't believe in Satan. But whether people believe in him or not, he's very real. And it says he deceives the whole world. That deception began at the foundation of what the Bible calls this present evil world. Satan began deceiving the world right in the Garden of Eden. Notice this in Genesis 2. And this history is so important when we look at what's happening in the world today. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, used to talk about coming into a movie midway through. If you haven't seen the beginning of the movie, then you're confused as to what's happening. You don't know who the characters are. You don't know the plot. So it's pretty confusing. Well, without the historical understanding of what happened there in Genesis, and even before then, we're confused. We don't know where we are. We're in this modern society. We've lived a number of years. We have a little bit of historical understanding, maybe, depending on our interests and what we look into. But it's hard to really understand what's happening in this society today, in the world today, without getting this foundational history in our minds. Genesis 2, verses 8 through 9. It says, "And the eternal God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the eternal God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." So you're probably familiar with some of this history. Sometimes people talk about it like it's a story somebody made up. This is real. This happened. This is true history. And it's very important for us to understand it. Notice verses 15 through 17. It says, "And the eternal God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the eternal God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die.'" There is going to be death if that tree is eaten from. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It says, "The tree of life represented God's gift of his Holy Spirit and begettal of immortal God life. It also pictured the way of God's government, based on the spiritual law of God, summarized by the Ten Commandments. It produced good fruits of love, happiness, and joy. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil symbolized the way of the devil, the way of rebellion against government, the way of deciding for oneself right from wrong, good from evil. This meant rejecting God's law, which defines right and wrong. And this tree also pictured sin and its penalty, which for man is eternal death. You can see that in Romans 6 and verse 23. So just look at the world today and some of the problems. What do you see? Well, exactly what this tree of the knowledge of good and evil produces. Rebellion against God's government, the way of deciding for oneself right and from wrong, good from evil. That's the way. Rejecting God's law. Doing their own thing, their own ideas. Anti-government of any kind. We see that happening in the world today more and more. Where does it come from? Who's inspiring it? Who's influencing that type of thinking? Satan the devil. Rejecting God's law, deciding for oneself what's right and wrong, as influenced and swayed and deceived by Satan, leads to all of these terrible fruits. And the penalty ultimately is eternal death, if not repented of. And so when we look at this history in Genesis, we see that there are two ways of living. There's two different directions. Mr. Armstrong summed them up as give and get. The way of give and the way of get. God's way is give. Satan's way is get. The problem with getting, of course, is that when everyone's trying to get for the self, everyone's taking from everyone else. When people are living the give way of life and everyone's trying to give, then everyone benefits, everyone receives. The get way of life, the way that really you see in this world, leads to death, ultimately. So many problems. Why do people murder other people? Well, it's always because of get. Either they're trying to get an item, they're trying to get revenge, they're trying to get a possession that that person might have. There's all kinds of, I suppose, reasons, but it comes down to get, to the get way of life. And that's what we see in this world. There are two ways of life, give and get. Every choice that we make each day, every choice you make, every choice I make, ultimately comes down to eating from one of these trees, choosing give or choosing get. Now, of course, God closed off the tree of life to mankind after Adam and Eve sinned, except for a very few that he calls out, first fruits. But most people aren't even able to eat from that tree of life. And so if you are able to eat from that tree of life, if you do have access to God's Holy Spirit, that's a great blessing. And eventually the whole world will have access to it. And then you have to make that choice, which direction to go. Notice Genesis 3 and verse 6, continuing with this very important history, foundational history. And it's more current and relevant than ever because of the events in this world. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So Satan deceived Eve, and Adam went along with his wife. There was a government problem in this first marriage. Adam wasn't there. He wasn't there leading and helping and protecting his wife. And she wasn't near him and seeking direction. And so Satan entered the picture and told his lies. The government in a family is very important. That may seem old-fashioned to some, but of course, that's God's word. You can look at Ephesians 5 and see that. The marriage chapter, God lays out the roles of men and women. And again, both roles, when done correctly, are two people living the give way, giving to each other. It's not the get way. But when that is not done correctly, and when people are living the get way, that's where problems enter into marriages and families. And we saw that here in Genesis 3 in this history. Now, Satan told Eve she wouldn't die. Well, Satan's a liar, too. Christ said that he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He told Eve she wouldn't die. Did she die that second that she disobeyed? No. But have you seen Eve lately? Have you seen Adam? No, they're not alive. Did they die? Yes, they did. He lied to her. Satan lied, and he continues to lie to all of mankind. He lies. And he says, well, you won't really die. If you live the Git way, you won't really die. And people believe that. Society believes that. Satan says that a person can break God's laws and still live. But living Satan's way leads to physical and eternal death. It just does. It does. History proves it. The Correspondence Course writes this. Adam rejected revealed spiritual knowledge from God that would have produced a happy relationship with God and with fellow man, and he rejected God's Holy Spirit, God's love, God's government, and eternal life. He disobeyed the explicit command of his Maker. From that moment, Adam and all his children after him were receptive to the sway of Satan. So you see this history here, so foundational. Adam and Eve reject God's revealed knowledge. They reject it. And they become receptive to the sway of Satan. They become receptive to it, and that's what we see in society today. People that are very receptive to the sway of Satan. They don't see it that way. They don't view it that way. They think they're deciding for themselves what they want to do. They're, you know, acting as they see fit, as they think is right. But it's under the sway of Satan, who's a liar and a murderer. And Satan doesn't care for any human being. He hates all humans. He wants to entangle all humans in sin and the penalty that comes from it. The quote says, Satan began to work in the mind of Adam, even as God would have worked in his mind had he eaten of the tree of life. If he had eaten from that tree of life, God would have worked with him. He would have worked in his mind and helped him and inspired him and directed him, but Adam rejected that and so fell prey to the sway of Satan the devil, and so has all of mankind since, except for the very few that God has called out as first fruits, and they have to battle Satan and conquer him just like Christ had to. You read about that in Matthew 4. Notice Genesis 3, verses 22 through 24. And the eternal God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the eternal God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so that's what God had to do. Mankind had to be cut off because they rejected him and his way of life. The Correspondence Course says, this closing of the tree of life from the human family marked the very foundation of this present world, still ruled invisibly by Satan. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. When you see problems today, when you see groups rising up against governments and fighting and infighting and all kinds of problems in different countries, well, what you're seeing is Satan injecting his thinking into people's minds and their attitudes. You're seeing a continuation of what began here in the Garden of Eden, where people's minds are not tuned into God's thinking, but they are tuned into the god of this world, Satan the devil. And he's invisible. People don't see him, but we certainly see the fruits of his thinking. Man has been cut off from God for the last 6,000 years. Mankind has gone their own way, developed their own society as deceived by Satan. And only a very few today realize this biblical truth. In all the arguing you might listen to occasionally on television or read in the headlines, one group against another group and who's right and who's wrong, one thing you never hear about is God's opinion, God's truth. You hear man's opinion, man's thinking, swayed by Satan, and every side thinks they're right. But we don't go to God for the truth of what to do in these situations. I'm talking about the world doesn't. Now, If you read the Trumpet magazine or you listen to this radio station or watch the Key of David program, then you are going to get God's Word. Because we're going back to the Bible to see what God says. Mankind in general, they're not doing that. Yes, everyone has an opinion. That's right. Everyone does. But we need God's thinking, not our own opinions. The Correspondence Course says all of the educational systems, governments, religions, and lifestyles of this world have been built under the deceptive sway of the devil. Have you thought about that? I mean, really stop to think about that? The educational systems, the governments, religions, the lifestyles, they've all been built under the deceptive sway of the devil. It's not God's education system. It's not God's government. It's not God's lifestyle that people are following. It's what they've built under the deceptive sway of the devil. It says it is all based on Satan's way of getting and taking, the opposite of God's way of give. Our modern world, developed from Adam, relies wholly on human self-reliance. It is the spirit of vanity, and that's what most people rely on. Human self-reliance, vanity. They're going to do it themselves. They know how to do it. And if we're not listening to God and to his thinking, then that's just how we think under Satan's deception. Satan's sway, it's a very selfish, vain way of thinking and living. That we know the answers, we'll figure it out. That's the thinking that Satan has broadcast to this world and continues to broadcast to this world. Now, God's people can't live like this society lives. We do have to be different. This society is going to be totally replaced, completely replaced. You can read Daniel 2, verses 31 through 35, and there you see the picture of the Daniel 2 image being destroyed and replaced by the government of God. That Daniel 2 image shows the history and the prophecy of successive world-ruling empires. But eventually, it's destroyed. Christ replaces it. Christ will not fix, quote-unquote, the current system upon his return. He will replace it. He will replace it. There's going to be a new system, a new government, and it's going to be the government of God, thankfully. Because I think we've seen enough of man's governments to know that even if they're well-intentioned, it ends in catastrophe, it ends in chaos, it ends in infighting, it ends in rebellion, and a lot of horrible things along the way. And we can see that more and more just in our daily headlines. The Correspondence Course notes that unless we cease from conforming to those ways of this world that are contrary to God's will, we will not grow in God's character or overcome spiritually. The many snares in the world could be compared to an obstacle course that challenges and strengthens a good soldier in training. Christians must learn to hurdle those obstacles. So we have to learn to do that, to come out of this society, right? We can't be like this world is if God's working with us. We can't live like this world lives. You see, people getting upset about all kinds of things and protesting at times, and God's people don't do that. Can't do that. That's the society. That's man trying to solve his own problems. We have to be different than that. Notice one last scripture here. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 through 4. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 through 4. There's a challenge, of course, for true Christians in this society. But as it says there in the Correspondence Course, we have to learn to hurdle those obstacles. We are strengthened, actually, as God empowers us and strengthens us, but we are strengthened as we conquer and we grow and we overcome. There are some obstacles. This society that we live in and the ways of this world, those are big obstacles. But when we use God's Holy Spirit to conquer those ways, we become stronger. We develop more of God's character. Notice 1 Peter 4, verses 3 through 4. It says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." So the reality is, when people in this world look at God's people, they think that's a little odd. Well, how come you don't, you know, come out and get involved in all the things we're involved in? Well, because we're living a different way. We do have to come out of this world. That's what it said here in 1 Peter 4, verse 4. They think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Oh, well, that's strange. You're not getting all involved in politics, and you're not getting, you know, into all these get-togethers and all this thinking that we have. Why aren't you getting involved in this? Don't you have an opinion? Don't you want to join one side or the other in a conflict? God's people live differently. They live differently. Obeying God means living differently than the world around us. The correspondence course says, God does not want us to hate the people in the world, whom he has not chosen to call at this time, even though some may persecute and ridicule those who follow God's way. They'll think it's strange. Well, you're strange. How come you don't get involved in these things? But the quote says, they are potential sons of God. All people are. And we are instructed to love them. God will eventually open their minds and show them his glorious truth so they can become Christians too, as is depicted by the last step in God's master plan. Talking about God's holy day plan, you can read more about that at thetrumpet.com. We have a free book, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days, which. But God's going to call all people, even those today, of course, that don't know any better. They're going to be called. Their minds are going to be opened to God's truth, and they're going to see that going against God's truth and rejecting it leads to death. It leads to all kinds of problems, and man's history has proven that. But for God's people today, we have to live differently. But as Christ said, you know, we aren't to be taken out of this world, but to be protected from the evil. Be protected from the evil, and the evil one, Satan the devil. We have to be relying on the power of God's Spirit and going through this world, as it says, like an obstacle course. Getting over hurdles, getting through tight spots, learning to deal with certain problems. All of that so that we can grow in character. For what purpose? Well, to help teach the world, to help teach them when they're called. And when people come and they say, when their minds are opened and they come and say, well, I've got this conflict, I don't know how to resolve this. You say, okay, well, come on. I've been through that myself. Here's how we deal with it according to God's word. And then we can help them. All the experience we have in this society today, it does help us and prepare us to teach people that will be coming out of this society also and having their minds open to God's truth. It's a wonderful calling God has given his people, but we do have to make sure that we do come out of this society and understand the foundation of this present evil world, the rejecting of God's revelation, and then following the sway of Satan. That's what we see happening. Those are the fruits in this world today. But for God's people, we have to reject Satan's broadcast and really go to God, draw close to him, so that his Spirit can empower us to conquer Satan and our own selves and this society in which we live. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. Thanks for spending some time with me. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.